So next up, iMovie. This one's really interesting.
No shit, Steve Jobs and Bruce G and us three have a lot to say about it.
All that and a whole lot more, My Mac Podcast 140.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the MyMac podcast. This is our 140th weekly episode. I'm joined by Chad Perry.
Hello.
And Guy Searle.
Once again, I'm here.
You know, we did an interview before we actually started recording the main show with Bruce G, and we're going to put that in towards the end of the show. And
great guy.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. He makes fantastic software. Guy Searle and I were fortunate enough to meet him and do a little video segment with him at the Macworld Expo this year.
Yes.
But so thanks to Bruce for coming on the show and talking about what I consider controversy. And I know the Mac web right now is really harping on this, and that's the new version of iMovie. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first up, brand new iMacs for the waiting hordes. And is it just me? You remember when the iPod came out, what the iMac at the time looked like?
Mm-hmm.
And then the iMac turned into something that kind of looked like the iPod, didn't it?
Yeah.
Then the iPhone comes out. And what's the new iMac kind of look like? I see kind of a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a big snow cone machine.
Yeah, big snow cone machine. to be quite honest, on last week's show, which was actually this week's show because this podcast is going to be released Friday, the day after we actually record it. So we're coming out early this week simply because of so much happening in the Mac world. We wanted to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And 139, I think it was me who said if they just come out with a new iMac and make it brushed aluminum, it's like a wah-wah moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, I'm quite impressed with the new iMacs. They look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good-looking machine. And, you know, they've basically officially, you know, made the one that I have obsolete. So,
well, there's nothing new there. I mean, they do that each and every time.
It's so depressing.
It makes me so mad.
I'm not happy.
So there's three new models, a 20-inch, a 20-inch, and a 24-inch, starting at, $1,199 for a 20-inch iMac. Do you realize how close I am right now to just going and buying one and replacing my G5 completely with a 20-inch iMac? That I really kind of want to.
Yeah,
it's a sweet looking machine.
That's my point. It's really cool, and I think that would look great. A 20-inch iMac sitting right next to my 23-inch Cinema display,
which you could plug right in,
and it looks very similar as far as the brushed aluminum. I think it would look great.
Yeah.
Well, if you were going to get one, Tim, which one would it be?
I think I'd go with $1,199. Why not? I don't need a graphic card that's a little bit faster, and I can still
bump it up. It's a little slower because the processor between the 220s, it goes from a 2.0 to a 2.4. It's also a larger internal drive.
Yeah, but I don't really care about that, Guy. You know how much FireWire hard drive space that I have?
Yeah, I got a lot of that too.
I mean, I don't really as long as it's over 250 gigabytes or at least 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, it's 250.
In my G5, I've got two internal drives, and they're both 250 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got, you know, a 500 and a 420, I don't know, a whole bunch of external FireWire drives, and they're cheap. Anybody can, you can pick those up next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
$1,199. That's just a fantastic price.
It really is.
Price before, a week ago, you'd get the 17-inch iMac. And to me, I was always like, 17 inches is just not enough.
Yeah, my kids have a 17-inch G5 iMac.
Yeah.
And every time I'm up there, you know, updating it or whatever, I just feel so confined.
Exactly. But a 20-inch, on the other hand, that's a nice-sized monitor.
And when you throw in the fact that you can just plug right in your 23-inch monitor, I mean, you wouldn't really need to go to a 24-inch.
Exactly, my point.
You're already looking at a dual monitor setup.
Exactly. And plus, it's the glossy screen. That's one thing that kind of worries me. Will my old 24-inch look dull by comparison next to the 20-inch? Well, it's not just glossy. It's a it's a glass screen.
Right.
Right.
Interesting. I'm not sure what I want to do yet, to be quite honest. But it would really seem to me to be worth it for $11.99. If anybody out there was waiting, and I know there are some people, I get the email, that's waiting to find out what happens this week before deciding if they're going to get a new Mac yet or what are they going to do. You know, I think Apple really made the iMac line probably, at least as far as price, the most attractive line that they have. That entry, $11.99 for a 20-inch
It's iMac, amazing.
That's an amazing price.
Yeah.
A lot of people were predicting that Apple was also going to cancel the Mac Mini. They didn't. They gave it a speed bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, actually, it's gone from a Core Duo to a Core 2 Duo.
So it's that's a lot faster as well. And it's same price, right? $599?
Mm-hmm. $799, yeah.
It's $799.
Yeah.
Well, $799 for the Super Drive. I'll tell you here in just a second. Talk among yourselves.
Power of the internet. Just a few clicks away, and we can provide the answer. It's I think that it's a good thing that they didn't kill the Mac Mini. But I really do question how many of those that they actually sell. I think they should put the Mac Minis in 7-Elevens and Sears and anywhere, Walmart. Mm-hmm. I would put the Mac Mini in a bubble wrap with an iMac and with an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Slap a $9.99 price tag on it and put it in every store I could possibly get it into.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You're getting a computer and an iPod.
Yeah.
Well, they're showing up in Best Buys all over the place.
Are they?
Yeah.
Not around here.
Well, the Best Buys in the Virginia area mostly have them.
I'd put it in bubble wrap. I'd hang it on a hook, on an end cap at Walmart.
I don't know if I put it in an end cap. I mean, I might still put it behind glass somewhere.
No, I wouldn't. You want people to pick it up and take it home.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't care if they get stole. Walmart already paid for it.
This is true.
That's a Walmart problem. I don't really care what happens at the Walmart. So I would put it in a bubble wrap, and I would put them right out so people could pick them up. And $8.99, $9.99 is a hell of an impulse buy.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they'd have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be honest, more people are buying Macs right now than they have in a long time. Mm-hmm. Let's make it easier for them, right?
Yep.
What do you think, Guy?
I would agree. The low-end Mac Mini is a 1.83 Core 2, and the higher end is a 2 gigahertz Core 2.
What's still the
1 gig of RAM in both of them now.
What's the prices?
$599, $799.
See, $599. I would bundle the $599 iMac with a $300 iPod.
Oh, heck, you could just put $150 Nano in there.
Yeah, you want to make it a little bit more attractive.
Yeah, but if you bundle them both together, it's still...
That's going in to buy an iPod.
And they're going to want to have at least something that does video.
Right, and they're like, wow, look at that. We can get a Mac and an iPod.
Well,
and it's not even $1,000. I would do it.
Well, I want to get my hands on that new keyboard.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about. That looks really, really slick. Can you buy the keyboard by itself, Guy?
I think you can.
Yes, you can.
How much is it?
I'll tell you. I was just poking it up when Chad started to talk about it. Let's see. The new keyboard looks like it's $49.
And that's the wired?
That's the wired.
And what's $99 for the
Bluetooth?
Nope, $79.
$79. Oh, that's not bad. No. 20 more bucks.
Yep.
It's an interesting keyboard.
So, you do know that the wireless one does not have a numbers pad, and it doesn't have arrow pads either.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
It's more akin to a laptop
keyboard. It's almost, you could almost use it as like a remote control for like your Apple TV or something.
Well, that's why, hence Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's a really nice looking keyboard. I really do.
I'm looking forward to going to one of the local Apple stores and checking it out. I haven't had a chance to go yet.
I haven't either. Well, I thought one of the newer ones had the wired version. Doesn't that have the number keys on it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
So the wireless one doesn't.
Right.
Correct. The wireless one, like Guy said, looks just like a laptop keyboard.
I would go with a wired version because I'm using it as a desktop computer. I don't need it wireless. That's almost overkill to me. But like you said, Guy, if you used it with like a Mac Mini hooked up to your media center,
exactly.
Hey, there you go.
I wonder if you could hook it in with the Apple TV.
I don't know. And that's another product that I've been reconsidering lately as well, an Apple TV. I really kind of want one now. I don't know why. Maybe it's just that Apple's had a new product out for a while and I don't have it.
It's calling to you, Tim.
If I can get the new iMac and Apple and the Apple TV and for less than $1,300, I would do it.
No, you won't.
I can't. And if I can get everything for $15.99 and throw in an iPhone, I'm there, dude.
And if pigs had wings, they would fly.
Yeah. So new iMacs, and I can't speak for everyone here, but I can say I want one. Guy?
I would love to have one, and immediately I would end up in divorce court, so I'm really, really not considering it at this time.
Chad?
Still happy with my G5, but I think when I'm ready to upgrade, I may actually consider going to an iMac this time. Yeah.
I think they're so powerful now.
Yeah, because really, I mean, I don't have a real demand for a Mac Pro.
I just don't
do that level of computing here.
Well, here's the thing. I do a lot of video work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I need the RAM.
Right.
And I need the hard drive space.
Four gigs of RAM.
I can have up to 4 gigs of RAM in the iMac.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what I've got in my G5 right now.
Yeah.
As far as storage, external FireWire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see...
Oh, the new iMacs also have FireWire 800.
Yep,
which
they do.
Is the first.
And also, the graphic cards in the new iMacs are DirectX 10 compatible. Now, what's that mean? That means if you want to run Vista on it or XP, you can play the latest and greatest video games on the PC side on that iMac.
Da-da-da.
Hey, yeah. Doesn't that make it a nice little $1,200, $1,199, $1,200 iMac, which is also a PC gaming machine?
Mm-hmm.
That's something else to think about.
That's a lot of the tech problems. They're still poo-pooing the graphics card.
Oh well, but those are the sites that they spend that much. They spend $11.99 on a graphic card alone.
And then say Apple makes computers that are too expensive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Oh, I can build my own for cheaper than that. No, you can't, Skippy. Shut up. I just think that's another reason. And yes, I do have my MacBook Pro, which I can run. Chad's over there clicking the keyboards on the thing again. Chad just wants the new keyboard.
It matches my G5.
It does, and it's nice looking.
But when do I get a Mighty Mouse that matches the keyboard,
That's the thing. I was looking at it, and I was like, and they still have that ugly-ass white mouse on the new with the new iMac. I'm like,
no use for the Mighty Mouse.
Why didn't they make it black?
Mm-hmm.
It would have at least matched the iMac at that point, and black goes together with the
brushed aluminum
a lot better than the ugly white thing does.
That'll be the next media event.
Yeah, probably. And it'll be a hockey puck mouse again. Steve will be like, I think we were on the right track originally.
We decided we're going to sell G3 Flower Power iMacs again.
It's... I don't know, Chaddy. Do you have a very busy weekend ahead of you?
I'd have to check my schedule with my wife.
I'm thinking, because we've wanted to see the new Apple Store in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you want to spend $50 to get a new keyboard. And I would like to get the new iLife and possibly the new keyboard. So we can actually go out there, spend a little bit of money, and check out the new store and have something else to talk about on the next week's show.
This is true.
Have you guys downloaded the trial version of iWork?
No, I don't ever. Here's the thing with iWorks, and let's get into that now before we get into iLife.
Yeah.
A brand new version of iWorks comes out, new version of Keynote and
Pages. And then they also introduce Numbers, which is a spreadsheet program.
Here's my problem. I still think iWorks... is a good idea as a rival, all but kind of a pathetic one as far as standards go to
Office.
It's
the home user's Office. Right. Yeah.
However, this type of software bundling, I think, at least as far as these type of applications go, their days are numbered. you can do the same things now on the internet a lot cheaper, and in some respects for free. Google offers Spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
We use it at the MyMac website to keep track of who's reviewing what, we do. And it works fine.
Mm-hmm.
They have a version of a document creator, so you can write right there online, and it saves it automatically.
Did it buy that when it was Writely or something?
Yes,
like
Writely. And so a lot of these applications are free online. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you're not always online. If you're traveling somewhere, you're going to need something locally. But for if it's me, if I need something to do some basic spreadsheets and I need something to a word processor type of program, I would just use Google's at this point rather than spending $80 on Apple's product.
Mm-hmm.
No more hard drive space.
I don't agree. I think Pages is really an amazing, not only a word processor, but almost a page layout program.
Well, I got to agree. And the last version I actually used to help create Donnie's ebook, which Donnie Inklo at MyMac.com, mm-hmm. which he's promoting up on the site right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was all done in Pages, and it was simply copy and paste, and it just worked.
To one of the templates?
No, I created my own.
Okay.
If you're wondering what that noise was, Chad, it was...
No.
That was my leg on the chair, yeah. It wasn't the dog.
Okay.
Chad immediately goes, "It's a bad dog. Don't do that in here.
Kill the dog."
No, I simply copied and pasted and adjusted from that point, whereas any other word processor, when I was copying stuff on the internet and pasting it in, it would paste the text, but not the graphics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been my problem with Microsoft Word all along. You know, you try to bring graphics in, and Word says, "Okay, I'm going to put it right here." And you say, "No, no, no, I want it over here." And Word says, "No, it goes here."
No, it's going here, right? And you're going
it
to
goes
like
here.
It. In those situations, absolutely.
And I will say, I will agree with you, Guy. I think that's one nice thing about Pages is it does bring in those elements of Word, the basic elements, and it also brings in some very basic elements of Microsoft Publisher so that you can do the page layout things that you basically can't do with Word easily.
That being said, most of the time I don't need those type of features. Right. I just need something to write in. Say I'm writing a script for a movie. I don't need all those features. I just
What's
need
funny,
to be able to center justify it and bold and mm-hmm. hit print and have a copy, the hard copy, to hand to someone.
Yeah,
I remember I sent you an article that I had done in Pages one time, and you sent me back some kind of message going, "Dad, what are you doing?"
I probably didn't have Pages at the time.
Probably.
Oh no, I did have Pages. It's just pulling it out of Pages and converting it to HTML was just a pain in the ass. Plus, it was you had graphics in it, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe.
Yeah, and that was the problem. Don't send graphics inline the article. Send them and have call-outs. So new iMacs, new... What's the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I life.
I life.
And that's where a little contention sprouts up.
Really around one application in the iLife suite.
Yeah, because the new iPhoto looks interesting. It looks like they're finally doing tagging correctly, or mm-hmm. keywording as they call it.
Yeah.
That looks pretty interesting. It looks like .Mac looks pretty good.
It's actually worth the subscription fee.
Well, I don't know if it's still worth that much.
Let's get into .Mac separately. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah. So, new iPhoto. I haven't used it yet. I have to buy a copy, but I want the new iPhoto. It looks interesting. And I kind of like the idea of basing it around events.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when he was kind of giving his demo, I was like, "Oh, I'm so there." Mm-hmm. You know, I've got literally almost 7,000 pictures in my iPhoto, and it's a pain in the butt to scroll that big, long list.
Well, and we're getting so many pictures of our great nieces now that, you know, Kim gets them all the time and wants to have them organized, and events is a great way to organize all those photos she downloads from their websites. So,
iWeb, I think Guy's probably most interested in that.
Yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's finally got some of the stuff in it that, you know, because I was kind of comparing it to this other program by Fishbeam Software called Goldfish. And things like putting in Google AdSense ads or just adding an HTML box was, without third-party software, was impossible. You couldn't do it strictly using iWeb. Well, now you can. You still can't do like custom navigation links just by kind of like moving the box around, which is, you know, kind of what I want. It's still putting them all across the top on in every single template. And I've also heard that when you try to import your domain file, which is in your, you know, username, library, application support, blah, 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 that it's basically, for some people, it's really doing a number on it, and they won't be able to get back to what it was before. So anyone who's getting the new version of iLife when you're going to use iWeb, one little tip here would be to go into your library for iWeb, make a copy of your domain file, and put it someplace safe so that you don't lose everything.
Hmm. So you're looking forward to checking it out then?
Yeah. I had a FedEx notice when I got home saying, hey, we've got something here that somebody sent you, and I think it's going to be iLife and iWeb. I was kind of hoping I was going to have it before we did the podcast tonight, but that's not to be.
Hmm. I know what you mean. The other one is GarageBand. That's something that we use here
all the
at
time.
Least once a week.
At least once a week.
We create all of our podcasts at mymac.com in GarageBand. And I'm looking at it, and Magic GarageBand is the big thing that they were. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. I still don't get what that is.
It looked cool, but you know the thing is, each one of the little like different types of music that he was bringing up,
right.
I have a feeling that really you're just talking about one song for each one of those genres, and you know you can substitute, you know, a fiddle for an oboe or, you know, whatever it is you want to do, but you're still just basically going to be stuck with that one song per genre.
It's still going to be a loop song
for that one. Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed kind of gimmicky to me, the whole Magic GarageBand. It's like, wow, what are we going to say about GarageBand?
And
I don't know. I could be completely wrong. Once I get my hands on the new GarageBand, which is the one that I'm looking forward to the most playing with, maybe it's exactly what I've been looking for, but maybe not. Multi-take recording. Don't we already have that?
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly in the same way, though.
No, not in the same way.
So do you want to explain what the new multi-take recording...
Well, I haven't done it yet, but from what I've been seeing, basically, if you screw up, you can kind of go back and redo it within that same time period, and you'll still have the one before it so that you can almost do like a comparison between the two. You can do multiple takes of the same thing.
Interesting.
Without losing what you already had.
For example, when you guys download this podcast and you hear the intro, normally we can do it in one take. Occasionally we go two or three takes to get it right. So using this, we can basically set the time frame that we want to do our intro in to fit in with the theme music and do several takes and then just
right-click
on it and pick which take we like best. GarageBand will automatically organize and keep all those until we throw the other takes out.
Interesting. It may simplify our life significantly.
Mm-hmm. Or may not.
Visual EQ, which is graphically adjusting frequencies for each track by clicking and dragging. Usually that kind of thing's more hype than function.
Yeah, well, one of the other things that GarageBand will do now as compared to what it did before, basically when you start a new band file in GarageBand, you set the tempo, you know, you set all these things up ahead of time, and you're stuck with that for that song. That's what you have. With the new version of GarageBand, as I understand it, you can actually change the tempo from within the song. So you can speed it up or slow it down or, you know, just kind of do some different stuff with it.
Within iLife 08, we have a new version of the .Mac, and .Mac web galleries for pictures and video is the big... It seems like they were kind of watching what's going on with Flickr and thought, wow, maybe we should kind of do something like that. Mm-hmm. Because for a while now, probably for at least the last 3 years, it's been pretty hard to justify $100 a year for .Mac. It really has been.
Well,
and I haven't canceled it yet, but I've been close.
It was only 250 megs, and they bumped it up to a gig, I guess, 2 years ago? And, you know, that was getting better. But I think that this new version of .Mac, when he said they were going from 1 gig to 10 gigs with 100 gigs of
transfer.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, finally I can kind of look at it and say, well, you know what? It's now maybe it's worth that. Especially if you know, you want to have your photos and your music and everything else all backed up someplace away from your home. And you want it to be easy. You want all this stuff available to you anywhere you go. Well, .Mac will let you do that very, very simply.
The group participation is kind of interesting.
I thought that was an interesting feature, too. Yeah.
That's something that, if done right, it could make sharing photos, say, within a family, mm-hmm. just awesome. If everybody went to the same reunion, let's say, the family reunion, or the Christmas, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and everybody went up there and uploaded their photos to it, that could be really cool. Now, is that restricted, though, to Mac users? Other Mac users can share in the group participation?
My understanding is that it's even Windows users can use it.
That was my understanding as well. If that's the case, that's very useful.
And I think what's so powerful is that it will actually pull whatever they share on your gallery into iPhoto.
For you, so yep. you have it locally.
Yep.
Which hopefully you can turn off.
Well, it says here you can also allow visitors to download your photos, and you can let them upload their own, even via email or mobile phone.
Yep.
That's interesting, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Apple might have a interest in mobile phones with cameras in them. I could be wrong.
I've heard about
But when you
that.
Think about it, now that you got an iPhone, you can literally upload it to your .Mac
mm-hmm.
immediately, right then.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make covering Macworld a little easier, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Take a picture, boom, upload it. And
if you had an iPhone.
Well,
so I'm guessing you could pretty much do that.
As the publisher and owner of MyMac.com guy, I'm going to buy everyone an iPhone that's covering Macworld this year. And oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, sure.
If I was a rich man.
If I was a rich man. Yeah.
Good
I think it's a welcome addition and changes to .Mac that was needed. It was desperately needed. iDVD, they kind of skimmed over that.
Yeah.
A few new themes. Oh, okay. But that's good, because I wanted more themes. Mm-hmm. I like using iDVD.
Well, I guess we've danced around the elephant in the room, so.
Did you have something else for iDVD there, Guy?
Well, I was just going to say, what else did it really need?
Not much. I would like them to expand it beyond 99 photos as far as a slideshow. You can only have 99 photos per slideshow, which I don't like. I like to be able to dump as many photos as I can into iDVD as continuous slideshow up until, you know, 4.9 gigs that a DVD can hold. But right now, I can only do 99 at a time. Then I have to create a whole other thing. And, you know, so that was something that I would really have liked to see. And maybe they have lifted that restriction at this point. I don't think so, but maybe they did. I'll find out when I get it. So we danced around it enough, like Chad said, and we come to iMovie.
Mm-hmm.
And the disappointment sets in.
Wah, wah.
But let's be honest, iMovie 6 was a very mature, full-featured product that was much loved, was very supported by third-party developers, mm-hmm. such as Bruce G., which you'll hear in a few moments. It just worked. Yeah, it had some problems as far as, you know, multiple video tracks and stuff like that. But that's why Apple has a professional video editing suite as well.
Mm-hmm.
Two, actually.
Right.
Final Cut Express and Final Cut Pro. But what they did with iMovie is they rewrote it from scratch. And I don't know who sold Steve Jobs on this bill of goods saying this is what people want. They want every movie they've ever shot on their hard drive, and they want to access it just like they do in iPhoto. No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think they killed the program. I think a lot of people are going to be very upset about this.
Well, they really kind of switched to a graphics-based video editing format.
Right.
Don't you think they should have called this like iMovie Lite and left the other iMovie alone, just added a couple little, even just a couple little features to iMovies, maybe some new themes.
They couldn't have done that and had it in the same package with iLife.
Why?
Well,
why couldn't they have said, with the new iLife, you get iMovie 7, which includes new themes, and iMovie Lite, which is what they just released. Why couldn't they have done that?
Well, what else could they have put into...
new themes.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, because a lot of people said, well, they didn't really do nothing to make it iMovie 7. Yeah, but you have this whole new iMovie Lite now as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody would have complained, because you would have felt like you were getting more. Well, what they did is you're getting less.
And if folks haven't actually went and looked at the demos or anything with iMovie 08, maybe we need to step back and tell them what we've lost.
Who wants to take that?
All your plugins, for one thing.
All the plugins are gone. So if you really like some cool transition or text effects that you were getting from the multiple
vendors,
iMovie
ever,
plugin companies, they're gone. You cannot use them. If you put a really, really cool iMovie project together and you go and buy iMovie
08,
you can't open that project in iMovie anymore. Mm-hmm. You can with the iMovie 06, but you can't open it with the new one. You can no longer see the time frame. You can no longer get in there and really adjust the audio quality, which is always one of the big things to do in any movie product. You got to get in there and adjust because, yeah, okay, you filmed a whole bunch of stuff. Well, some of it's a lot louder than some of the other stuff.
That's right.
And but with and the new iMovie, you can't adjust that.
The weird thing is that was like one of the cool new features of iMovie 06.
Right,
was the audio editing part of it.
Yeah.
Now it's just gone.
It's gone. I just cannot, for the life of me, figure out why Apple completely made a retarded version of iMovie.
Well, to be fair, though, none of us have tried it yet.
This is true.
But knowing what iMovie 6 does and watching the demos online and reading a lot of posts from people who do have it, I'm led to the conclusion that this was a very bad mistake.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing to do is to go to Apple's website.
And watch it. Watch the guided tours.
That, and actually look at some of the postings for iLife 08, and you'll see the early ones were all raving about it, and now as people are getting more educated, there's a lot of 1 and 2 stars getting posted up there that basically are warning people, stay away, don't buy it, don't make a hasty decision. If you use iMovie, you don't want this.
And that says a lot, I think. That this is on Apple's own website.
Right.
So something to keep in mind if you're a heavy iMovie user and the changes to GarageBand, iPhoto.Mac, and iDVD really doesn't, and iWeb doesn't really, that's not why you would buy it. You were buying it for the new iMovie. I think you probably want to stay away for it right now.
Well, plus, the hardware requirements for it are very, very steep. If you have a G4, forget it. You can't run it.
Mm-hmm.
Its basic requirements, I think, is the bare minimum is a 1.9 gigahertz iMac G5 or a dual processor G5. And that's the low end.
And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't expect Apple to keep making new products that's going to work with a 2001 G3. I mean, there's a time where those users are really going to have to step up and get a new machine, or you're going to get left behind in the software. Because as someone that pretty much stays on top of the curve, I do expect newer software that's going to take advantage of the more powerful machines that I have, allowing me to do more with the software, unless it's, you know, iMovie, and then you
can
do less.
Telling me I can't use my Pismo for this?
No.
Man.
You know, we love the fact that we can keep these Mac computers around for such a long time. But we also have to understand the responsibilities with us to update our machines if we want the functionality of the new software. It's just the way it is.
Right.
Has anybody found out what the requirements are going to be for 10.5, macOS 10.5?
I
haven't heard.
Not yet heard.
I mean, obviously it's going to work with the G5. There's no way that Apple would slit their own throat and only support machines they've been making for a year and a half. But are they going to support the G4? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they don't.
I really would not expect it to run on my wife's G3 laptop.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think I would expect it on any G4 either. Because they haven't made a G4 in how long? Other than the PowerBooks.
Right.
That being said, I don't know. We'll find out in just a few more months because I'm more looking forward to 10.5 than I was looking forward to iLife. Is anybody surprised that they released iLife when they did, though? I was kind of expecting it around the same time as Leopard. I really was.
Which is consistent with when they normally release.
Well, the iLife update. That makes me wonder, are there any features of iLife or iWork?
No, I know where you're going. I don't think they would slit their own throats like that. It would really leave a bad taste in everyone's mouth who goes out and buys iLife and had no plans on buying 10.5 for $150 to be told, oh, by the way, you know, there's a lot more in iMovie that you just can't use unless you upgrade your operating system as well. That would piss a lot of people off, and I don't think Apple really wants to do that.
Okay,
especially
well,
with all the flack that they're going to get for the new iMovie anyways.
I've got the pre-release system requirements here for Leopard. A 800 megahertz or faster G4, G5, or Intel-based Mac DVD drive.
Chief,
at least 512 megs of RAM and 7 gigs of hard drive space. 12 gigs if you use Xcode.
Ooh.
Oh, and FireWire ports.
So
actually, that was the same thing for, I think, 10.3.
10.4.
Was it 10.4? 10.3 didn't require FireWire ports?
No, but it did require USB. That's interesting. That is real interesting. So it sounds like the requirements for Panther are pretty much the same requirements as that they had for Tiger. Or Leopard.
Yeah.
Or the same that they had for Tiger. That's interesting. I'm really looking forward to checking out. What do you guys think of the new Apple's website with all the brushed aluminum at the top? Which probably should have told us something about what the new iMacs are going to look like.
Probably. It looks okay. You know,
everything is brushed aluminum now. Everything. Their web browsers, iTunes, iMovie, iPhoto, everything's just brushed aluminum. I'm getting a little tired of this brushed gray aluminum look on everything.
I knew you were going to say that. You said this already.
I'm tired of it. You know, if you go back and look at what we were using with Mac OS 9 and Mac OS 8, and then you saw the first previews of Mac OS X, Mac OS 10, it was so colorful. And that's what really wowed everyone. And they've progressively gotten more and more gray. Gray. What the hell?
Could be beige.
Could be beige. Yeah, that would be even worse.
Yeah.
Or it could be the Crayola crayon color scheme that Windows XP uses. But still, I would think, I know some people say, well, it's very classy and it's high-end looking. And well, yeah, but so is a red Lamborghini, and I don't want it to be that either. So, I don't know. It just seems that I would rather them... Quite honestly, I would rather have a consistent look through the applications in the OS, which they haven't had in a while.
No, they haven't.
But I don't know if this gray everywhere, this brushed aluminum look, is really aesthetically as nice as Apple seems to think it is. And they're using it on everything. It's on the back of the iMacs now. It's on the back of the iPhone. It's on the back of the iPods. That's what your computers are looking like now as far as the iMac and the PowerBook, well, the MacBooks. The Mac Pros are, it's everything is aluminum. Everything.
The same displays have always been that for years now.
It's like Apple looked at the that trend back in the mid '90s with, you know, the kitchen sink and the kitchen
and industrial
refrigerator, the industrial look, and went, yeah, let's make all of our software and hardware look like that. I don't know. I'm just not impressed with it anymore. I'm tired of it. I don't know what's better.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
I was going to say, what would you like them to go to?
Burled wood. Burled wood.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I want. Call me silly, but... No, I want a neon pink.
Ugh.
Everything neon pink. That's what I want. What happened to all the... Remember we used to have in the classic Mac days, there were so many programs to modify the look of your computer.
Oh, yeah.
That's really gone away at this point. There's still some programs and some people who are doing it.
Yeah, and there are people doing
things
like
that.
It's not as popular as it used to be.
Yeah.
I don't think. Do you see a big crowd of modders changing the way their Mac looks now?
Well, to me, it's almost just a change in how people use computers. I mean... To me, those sort of themes on your menu bars really is almost like buttons on your television.
So the tinkerers are going away.
Yeah.
There's less tinkerers and more people just simply watching TV. Yeah. I agree. I think that's probably why it's just not as popular.
I mean, because now you're to the point where no one wants to see a button on the front of a television set.
That's true. You're right. So, Guy, anything going on your way in the Mac world that we should know about?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, for the new iMacs, there's already a software update.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I hadn't updated any of my machines in like 3 or 4 weeks now, and I decided to run software updater on the Mac Pro or the MacBook Pro and the G5. Yeah, like 4 or 5 updates for all of them.
I'm
like,
oh, yeah.
Update, 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 update.
But you probably got a virus then.
I got a virus. Oh, my God. I got to tell you guys about this. Oh, I was so pissed off. We went swimming today, my wife and the kids.
Mm-hmm. No wonder you're mad.
And I was in the car listening to NPR, and All Things Considered was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it was Ira Flatow was doing it.
Yeah.
He's usually the Science Friday guy, but...
No, he does All Things... Well, sometimes he sits in on All Things Considered, too.
I was pretty sure it was him, and they had these computer experts on. And one of them was a security expert.
Oh, God.
This is for Thursday, August 9th. So if anybody has a way of culling this from... I didn't hear the very beginning of it, but I only heard the middle of it because I had to stop and get out.
You can usually get those. Yeah, you can usually get that content.
The security expert, and I'm quoting with my fingers now. When I picked up the conversation, he was saying that Linux has such a small market share that it is somewhat more secure than Windows. And the same thing holds true with the Macintosh, although... A lot of security companies are making a lot of money off Macintosh because it's widely known that there's more than a few viruses out in the wild that affects Macintosh computers. I was like,
so
I wanted to so hi. Yeah, could you name one virus in the wild that affects Mac OS X computers? Just one.
Because you are a security expert.
You're an expert. Give me one name. One. Plus, I'll give you $1,000 if you can email me. I'll open any attachment you send.
Mm-hmm.
If you can affect my computer, which is running zero virus protection, if you can affect my computer within the next 120 days, I'll give you $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it. The guy was so full of it. I was just like, and nobody questioned it. When he made that blanket statement, no one said anything. But it gets better.
You know why they didn't question it? They don't question it because he's the, you know,
expert.
I mean, yeah,
but they also don't question it because they're sitting at home on their PCs running their virus scans for every.
And so they assume everybody else has to go through the same bullshit.
And I was just so mad that he could just make a statement that, oh, yeah, it's well known. What? I mean, it was a complete fabrication, just outright lie. And if that wasn't bad enough, Ira Flatow asks about web browsers, and he says something about I think that's how it went. I already had steam coming out of my ears.
Mm-hmm.
But the security expert basically said that when Firefox first came out, it was much more secure than Internet Explorer. But at this point, it's no more secure than Internet Explorer. It has just as many blah, 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 blah.
Exploits or whatever.
And I'm like, what? And that was way over. It's one thing to say there's viruses attacking the Mac. It's quite another to say that Firefox is as...
buggy as IE.
Well, not buggy, but yeah. Potentially dangerous and a security risk. As many as IE? Are you kidding me? I could not believe it. I was beside myself sitting there listening to this. I was like...
Where was your wife sitting?
She wanted to get as far away from me right then as possible. But I'm sitting there thinking, where are the checks and balances here? You know, they had two people on, and the other guy obviously either didn't know himself or wasn't going to take the time to correct it. But I'm like, wow, this is going on a national public radio. And this guy is, in the 45 seconds that I've been listening, completely fabricated two so-called facts. Completely fabricated. The guy's full of shit. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is an expert, he knows he was lying. He knows it. It's not like he's thinking, well, it's probably true. He would know for a fact that what he just said was full of it, was a lie. Why would you do that on national public radio?
So do you think he had an agenda?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you what my agenda is going to be if I get a little free time, is I'm going to track down this segment, and I'm going to find out where he works and what his name is, and I'm going to send him an email. I'm going to say, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to write a post about it. I'm going to say, this guy is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
National Public Radio, he lied. and he did it deliberately,
mm-hmm.
probably to sell some product that he's yeah. supporting. But I don't know what his name was. I know it was that show, Eastern Time. It was about a little after 5 o'clock. No, I'm sorry. A little after 3 o'clock.
I'm going to play Guy Searle here and see if I can find that.
I was completely flabbergasted that the guy said what he said. I was just, I could not believe it. I was beside myself.
Tim, you know what this means.
Yeah, it means that...
he must die.
He must die. No, we're jesting, of course.
Maybe.
So up on the MyMac website, Bill Palmer's been posting stuff about Lollapalooza. He was in Chicago over the week.
Unfortunately, fly all over the place.
I don't know. I think he's independently wealthy.
He must be.
The guy's got a lot of money to be going all
heck,
over.
He just moved all the way from Florida to California.
Donnie Yankel has been posting some stuff about iWorks and iLife up on the blog side. As well as, was it the right move to get rid of the 17-inch iMac? He asked that question. I think it absolutely was. Apple needed to move on. 17 inches is just too small. 20-inch should definitely be the lowest end. And again, 20-inch iMac for $11.99, just an awesome price for an awesome machine.
Yeah, 20-inch iMac.
Yeah, whatever I said. 20-inch right. iMac, 17-inch iMac is gone. 20 inches here, it's $11.99. Awesome deal. Bakari wrote up a Getting to Know iMovie 08, which for me was the first time that I started getting a little pissed off about iMovie, in that, you know, you couldn't open up. That's where I initially learned it wouldn't open up old iMovie files and no plugin support. Donnie Ankelo posted a blog about Try Before You Buy iWork 08. Guy, you know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I went ahead and downloaded it, and so far I've really, really liked it.
You're going to pay the $80 to get a copy?
I think I have one waiting at a FedEx office right now.
Larry Grinnell, you kind of know that guy a little bit there, Guy.
Yeah. I think he's talking about Max on Star Trek.
On Star Trek, yeah. In the Enterprise.
No. Sorry, Max in the Enterprise.
Right, so it's running the Enterprise now.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I think... the segment you were talking about was Why Can't We Stop Spammers? And David Cowan, not to be confused with David Cohen.
No.
David Cowan, co-founded VeriSign, an encryption and security provider.
Uh-huh. Ooh,
there's a shocker.
That may be the guy you're talking about. We would have to listen to it.
Do they have the audio clip up there?
Yes, they do.
Well, I tell you what, let's stop recording for a few minutes. If you can hang out for a little bit here, Guy.
Yeah, a little
bit. For the audience, it's going to be like no time at all. But for us, we're going to stop recording. We're going to see if we could find this little clip that I was talking about. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I didn't hear it quite right. Mm-hmm. But I think I did. And we'll actually play it right here on the show. And if they don't like it and they want to sue us, well, my name's Tim Robertson. I run MyMac.com. Come get me, biatch. All right. Hold on a minute.
My name is Chad Perry.
Hold on. Let's check this out real quick.
Yeah. Well, it really goes to how popular the technology is. Linux just simply, you know, has a tiny, tiny percentage of market share compared to Windows as a desktop operating system. And if you look at and you know, Macintosh certainly has more, but there are certainly a lot of attacks against Macintosh that work well and are known to be out there in the wild. And in fact, there are now companies like Intego that are doing quite well selling those antivirus defenses just for Macintosh. If you look at a technology like Firefox, which is open source and is now very popular, the vulnerabilities in Firefox are really just as numerous as the vulnerabilities in Microsoft software. I mean, despite the initial hype about Firefox, it really isn't any more secure than IE.
Okay, so that was the clip that I heard in the car that is actually worse now that I hear it for a second or a third time than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. This guy just got done saying there are viruses in the wild attacking Macs.
Successfully.
Lie.
Well, just name it.
Name
it. You know, name it.
What was his name again?
David Cohen.
Yeah, no, not David Cohen.
David Cowan.
Cowan.
C-O-W-A-N.
We do want to bring in the fake David Cohen to respond. Go ahead, fake David Cohen, to respond to this jerk's name that's too close to your own. All the way from fake England, it's fake David Cohen.
Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'd like to respond to this blowhard who just made this comment on NPR. This is Fenestrations. I'm not going to open your mind into opening up a Windows world to you, but I'm going to open up a can of whoop-ass on this blowhard.
You're killing me, dude. I bet David Cohen's listening to this right now. David, I'm sorry if you just got in a car accident because you listened to this when you're driving.
He's either rolling with laughter or finding out.
He's very
out
offended.
He's very offended. He might have gone in England.
Oh, wow. That was really good.
Or some combination thereof.
Okay.
I almost have to script this out. You know,
you did great. That was awesome. And also the vulnerabilities in Firefox being as numerous and as easy to exploit as IE. Wow. This guy, it's where's he from? What's his company?
VeriSign, an encryption and security provider, and writes the blog, Who Has Time for This? On consumer internet and information security.
Well, the MyMac.com podcast has time.
We have time. Wow. Amazing. Should really. Okay, Guy, here's your.
My assignment?
Your assignment for tonight. Before I go and post this show, and I'm going to post it tonight.
Uh-huh.
Find as many websites that this guy is on. And send me the link, and I will post them in the show notes for this podcast. So anybody listening to this podcast, this person needs an education from Mac users and Firefox users. I say let's give him one.
Mm.
Let's give him an education because he obviously needs one because he's full of shit and he's making a lot of money off of lying to people, especially on public radio. So there you go. Well, I guess we're going to have to use explicit tag again, aren't we?
Yeah, we kind of started that off.
Apologize to our 12-year-old listeners, and I know for a fact that we have those. And
yes.
Don't use the naughty words that we use on the show. We're just uneducated coots that, you know, don't know any better.
We're right.
We're talking, we can bleep them out.
Breaking the law. Well, let's get to the interview with Bruce G, and we will be back next week with another exciting episode of the MyMac.com podcast.
Or will be.
And we're here with myself, Chad Perry, Tim Roberts, and Guy Searle, and we're joined by Bruce G. If you remember, Bruce G was with us back on MyMac Podcast 80, which was 60 podcasts ago.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, hi, guys. How are you, Tim and Guy and Chad?
60 podcasts ago, that's longer than most podcasts actually last.
This is true.
Longer than my attention span.
Me too. Last time we saw Bruce, Chad, was actually at the Macworld Expo. We did a little video segment, Guy Searle with Bruce, talking about the G3 effects for iMovie, and that's kind of why we want to bring him on today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The new version of iMovie just came out, and plugins non-existent, and this directly affects Bruce, so I thought, let's bring in who I think is one of the best developers for iMovie plugins. Absolutely. I don't even want to say I think. I know they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I use almost every single plugin that Bruce makes. And how many is that now, Bruce? How many plugins do you guys have?
I think we're close to 1,000 plugins now.
Jeez.
How many separate packages?
There are 10 different volumes. And I tell you, the hard part is when you come up with something new is, what do you call it? Yeah. Someone has to name that transition something. It's sort of like, okay, you can't use wipe anymore.
Yeah, wipe's taken. Yeah, definitely.
Now, so, you also repackaged them, didn't you?
You know, I repackaged them for the what they are sold in the Apple retail stores. I put some nice bundles together for the Apple stores, and it's a nice combination of the packs.
Now, I think it would probably be disingenuous for us to say that Apple doesn't know anything about G3 software or the iMovie plugin businesses market, out right. there, the market. And yet their new version of iMovie, I mean, they completely dumbed it down to the point that it's almost unusable for me personally. I'm not going to use it for anything. I'm going to have to stick with the older version of iMovie or Final Cut Pro. But what does this do to you, Bruce? Do you see eventually plugins opening up in the new iMovie, or do you think this is kind of a siren call for you guys?
Yeah, you know, I think I understand what Apple wanted to do with this new version of iMovie. You know, bring video editing for people who don't do video editing and make it really simple and fast for people. Even people who do some video editing, but they'll do more video editing because it's just very fast and simple. But the challenge is, I think, people who do video editing, they want something more than a dissolved transition. You know, it's something they want to add some production value and make really great videos. And so it's a little different target user than what they were designing around for the new version of iMovie 8. So really on the simplistic side and basic, but make it easy for people to do that.
What's this do to you?
It's not the greatest news on me because, you know, everybody, the challenge is that everyone thinks that Apple has a new version, so that's an improvement on the old version. So everyone has to get that. And so it's a challenge for people who say, well, I'm buying iMovie 8 and your stuff doesn't work with iMovie 8. Apple's done something nice in that they recognize that the iMovie 8 has, you know, it's a little different from the previous versions, so they keep iMovie, the old version of iMovie, on your hard drive when you install iLife 08, so they don't automatically erase it.
Yeah, iMovie 8 won't even open a previous iMovie job. It won't. You can't open it at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't do that. So projects are not compatible across the versions. The other thing they did is if you bought a new Mac that has iLife 08 on it, you could actually download iMovie 6 for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just have to have the serial number of iLife 08 in order to get the download.
You know, I don't know how they check to see what if they just check your system, because there's no serial number when you install iLife 08. So
yeah,
they do something so to at least validate that you have it, but it's free. So I think Apple recognizes too that for people who want to do some more advanced video editing, that you know that iMovie 6 lives on. You know, iMovie 6 is not a straight one for one replacement, getting rid of the old stuff, you know, and everyone upgrade to the new one, to iMovie 8.
What do you think of the conspiracy theorists who pontificate that Apple really released this version to dumb it down so it'll force more people into Final Cut Express and Final Cut Pro?
You know, I think no, I don't believe that is. I don't believe that's intentional on that.
Sorry. Well, the dog disagrees with you.
I think they just were trying to do something different than the way iMovie worked in the in previous versions, and it wasn't to try to sell more Final Cut Studios or Final Cut Express.
Here's something.
It's a different target audience as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, it is. I think it is a different audience, and for people who want to use it, and so, you know, our greatest challenge is just telling people that iMovie 6 hasn't gone away, that you should think back 4 days ago, and if you think of the world like it was 4 days ago, everything's still good. You know, all that.
Here's something that kind of bothered me. And I don't know if it's simply because Apple really doesn't understand how the size of hard drives that most people have.
Yeah.
But their whole, oh, look, you have access to all the video we've ever taken. Really? Everyone's keeping every clip they've ever imported on their computer forever? Are you crazy? I mean, do you realize how many video clips that would be and how fast it would eat up hard drive space?
It's an HD content.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look, it's iPhoto for your movies. Steve, we're not keeping all that crap on. That's why we're editing it and burning it to DVD or putting it on our iPod or putting it on .Mac. Mm-hmm. But most people are just burning a DVD. Yeah. No one's keeping all those video files on their computer. Is that just insanity, or was I the only person that thought of that? It's like, what, do you think we all got like 5 terabyte drive sitting in our closet that's feeding our iMac?
Come on. I think Steve's .Mac account has about that, but you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's a different usage pattern than the way that we find the people using creating videos, when they create a video, they really have a specific task in mind.
Yes.
You know, they shot some film, they want to do this, you know, they know what they want to do. They aren't just randomly saying like, oh, I'm going to create a video of this. Oh, here's a file that I shot 3 years ago. Let's add this into the movie too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the way he was showing that, I was thinking, nobody does that. They shoot the video, they import it into the computer, they use iMovie to edit it, and then they burn a DVD or two or three. Maybe they export it to their .Mac account or up to YouTube, and then you get rid of it off your computer to free up hard drive space.
That gets me to what I think the new iMovie 08 is, which is really geared towards a YouTube crowd.
I think so, too. But the editing capabilities are just anemic in this new version. I don't even have it, but just by looking at it, there's no timeline view. How do you do any kind of serious editing?
Well, and that's the problem is it's not geared towards a professional. It's geared towards, you know, someone like my wife or even myself who does not do a lot of serious video editing for money.
It doesn't even allow you to do much with audio, does it?
No. And that's the other thing that I thought was a little bit poor about it was that you just drop in the tune and it just plays, but you can't time it out at all.
Right. It's...
iMovie and iLife 06 had some really, really nice audio tools.
To me, it seems like instead of simplifying it is the way they're trying to sell it, they really dumbed it down, which leads me back to, for anybody that was doing anything somewhat serious, you can either stick with iMovie 06 forever, or you're going to move up to the next version of Express, right? You know, Final Cut Pro Express, or you know,
or you can pay $39.99 for the new iMovie Professional.
I
think it's curious. I mean, the people who are our customers that buy this look software, they come to us and want our stuff because they want something more than what iMovie has or what iMovie 6 has, and to say that they want to upgrade to iMovie 8. You know, that's not what they want. They don't want something that's more efficient in creating a very basic video. They want something that's going to have expanded capabilities. So hopefully those people will just think back, you know, 5 days ago and say, oh, yeah, iMovie 6, that's great. It lets me do all that stuff. It's still around, and that's where our plugins fit into that very well.
So anybody listening that's a serious iMovie user, you probably don't want to move up to the new version. Stick with the older version. And if you don't already, check out G3.com. Bruce's company makes the absolute best in iMovie plugins. And unfortunately, they do not work with the new one. And that's no fault of Bruce's. It's the fault of iMovie's a brand new program now. And it's so simplified and dumbed down that it's almost useless for someone like me and Chad or Guy, and we're going to stick with the older version and continue to use Bruce's software. Thanks for being on the show today, Bruce.
Hey, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.